From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Mary Graybar, a resident fellow at the Alexander Hamilton Institute for the Study of Western Civilization and the author of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and scholar Mary Graybar in their conversation.
You know, what's really profound, I think, about your book is that you expose the rhetorical tricks that are used by Howard Zinn, the use of ellipses to have Christopher Columbus in his own logs say something entirely different than what he actually said. So he is very, very clever, because if you just read what Zinn is communicating and what has been regurgitated over and over again, you read it for yourself and you think this is a genocidal maniac. But you have to take into account that he is using rhetorical tricks. He is using all kinds of methods to make Columbus, the discoverer of the New World, into something that he really isn't at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I had done that with a book I had written or a paper, or if a freshman when I was teaching college had done that, the freshman would have failed. My reputation as a writer would have been ruined. The book probably would have been pulped. The publisher would have nothing to do with me if they had discovered that I had written deceptively, willfully deceptively, and Howard Zinn does that not only with Columbus, but with everything in his book. He twists around things that people say to make them mean the exact opposite. If you or I or anyone else had done that, our reputations would be ruined. But with Howard Zinn, no one really discovered that. No one, you know, looked at his writing that closely. So he got away with it. And you would think that at this point, my book has been out for a year and a half now, you would think that someone would say, well, you know, regardless of the ideological position, this book is false because it misrepresents the people he's quoting, and therefore it should be removed. But nothing like that has been done. As a matter of fact, I have been attacked by professors. I was on the panel at the White House Constitution Day talking about Zinn, and I was called a Nazi on Twitter by someone who teaches at SUNY Geneseo here in Western New York. I've had a bunch of these history professors come out and attack me simply for stating that, you know, this is a book that is full of lies and distortions, and for that reason alone, it should not ever be used in the classroom.
Talk about the difference, and you're alluding to this, between an old school liberal, a believer in the self-correcting character of American democracy, and a radical left-wing liberal who is believing that something is fundamentally wrong with this country, so wrong that you have to stand up for someone like Howard Zinn.
Yeah, well, the historian that comes to mind is Arthur Schlesinger Jr., right? The biographer of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I mean, towards the end of his life, he was becoming disturbed by multiculturalism and how it was fragmenting Americans and setting them against each other in ethnic and racial groups. I mean, there are very many good old school liberal historians, and I quote them in my book, and one can read them and know that they did not do what Howard Zinn did, which is to misrepresent and distort and lie and leave out contradictory information. I mean, we may not agree with the conclusions they come to, but they don't deliberately lie. There are some historians and scholars who don't do what Howard Zinn did, but we've increasingly come to the point where truth doesn't matter. You know, I would have, in my naivete, thought that someone on the left who would agree with Howard Zinn's political views would say, well, you know, hey, we can't stand for this because here, look what he's doing. He's, you know, misrepresenting sources. He's lying. But they don't have those standards that used to inform the profession. You know, there was this sort of agreement. You could go to a conference, you could disagree about, you know, your interpretations on a matter of literature or history, but you debated on the basis of the evidence. And if you had lied about the evidence, you would have been kicked out. But yet here, the profession has become politicized. So you have people teaching who are ideologues first, and they often follow Howard Zinn in twisting around the evidence to suit what they want to push as a left-wing point. And it's the decay of education and scholarship that I've been seeing the last few decades. And it really is appalling. I mean, this notion that truth doesn't matter, when you get to that point, there's no way to communicate with someone else. And I think we're seeing that now in our political discourse. There isn't a basis of reality of evidence that people can base their conversations on. It's power struggles, it's ideology. And I'm seeing this, you know, emanate from what I saw on the college campus almost 30 years ago now.
Talk about Spelman College. This is a classic case study because here you have a distinctly Christian school with a Christian education that has become radicalized. And so radicalized that in 2005, as you point out in your book, you have Howard Zinn as the commencement speaker.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a very interesting story. You know, and I talked about Howard Zinn's years in the Communist Party. He did what communists were ordered to do in the late 1950s, and that was to leave the Communist Party officially and to infiltrate the institutions. And Howard Zinn went down to Spelman College. And at the time, the president was Albert Manley. He was the first male president and the first black president. And Spelman College is a small Christian school for black women. It was originally set up to teach ex-slaves how to read. And Howard Zinn saw his opportunity there. He radicalized the students. He claimed to be leading them on civil rights protests, but what he did was, you know, in the classroom, he brought in communist speakers, he taught them his communist version of history, he told them to defy the administration. So, you know, it being a Christian school, chapel attendance every day was mandatory. There was a dress code, there was a curfew. And a lot of this, especially the curfew, was for the students' own well-being. I mean, the reality was that in the late 50s, early 60s, you really did not want to be a young black woman out and about. So Howard Zinn riled up the students, encouraged them to defy all these rules, the dress code, the curfew, the chapel attendance, and therefore, he was fired by Albert Manley for insubordination. And so in 1963, Howard Zinn checked his mailbox one last time before he and his wife and kids were about to go off in the car on their trip up north for the summer, and found a check for a year's pay and his termination notice. The check was, you know, for the year he would not be teaching. So he was kicked out of that school for good reason. And then the sordid story goes on with, you know, the morals charge and all that.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Mary Graybar. In a world filled with fake news, research, the R in CRI, is more crucial than ever. While researching Columbus Day, Hank Hanegraaff read countless articles conveying Christopher Columbus as one of history's greatest villains, far from the hero of history we learned about as students. Then Hank realized something. Every article used the same source, Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. Zinn's influence is wide, and his lies won't be resisted unless they're recognized. And this makes Debunking Howard Zinn by Mary Graybar one of the most important books you'll read this year. To receive your copy of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and scholar Mary Graybar as they continue their conversation.
So he was kicked out of that school for good reason, and then the sordid story goes on with, you know, the morals charge and all that. And Howard Zinn also, in The Nation magazine, wrote this article that mocked the school, that called it a finishing school for young black ladies, you know, that it wasn't very serious, it wasn't very scholarly, and he was radicalizing it. He admitted it. And so what you had was the administration with crowds of students, you know, demanding meetings, defying rules, not adhering to the educational standards. So Zinn was a troublemaker, and he deliberately set out to do that when he came to Spelman College.
Is all of this about revolution? I mean, when you use that word, it seems to be a little dramatic, but Marx, as you point out, said that revolutions are the locomotives of history. And Zinn said in his autobiography that you can't be neutral on a moving train. So it seems to me that there's a bigger issue at play here in terms of America.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's to change the character of Americans. And you've got the cultural Marxists who came here, Gramsci and all those guys, and they didn't need to fire a single bullet. They didn't need to take risks. I mean, as a matter of fact, Zinn and all these guys led very charmed lives, you know, doing the kind of work, you know, that wasn't really much work, not even in terms of writing lesson plans and doing research and grading papers, which can be, you know, work, but just sort of using the classroom as a platform. They were invited to give lectures, you know, around the globe. Howard Zinn went to France and trotted all over Europe and South Africa and was wined and dined. And if you've got people who are, in the case of Howard Zinn's students at Spelman, very angry and believing that the form of government we have is corrupt and something that can't be reformed, while they're going to implement those ideas at the voting booth, they're going to implement them on the job, they're going to be going out and teaching from generation to generation, you're going to be getting this version of American history and of what America is. And, you know, every time I see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, hear what she says, I immediately think of Howard Zinn. I mean, this is what our educational system and the kind of history that is being taught has produced.
Yeah, I was going to say, tongue in cheek, lighten up, Dr. Graybar. I mean, after all, Zinn is dead, his influence is waning. But as you've pointed out in your book, his influence is not waning at all. And I want you to talk a little bit about the Zinn Educational Project, because this is taking Zinn and multiplying him all over the world.
Oh, yeah. So the Zinn Education Project was started by one of his adoring students at Boston University. And this man, ironically, went out and made a lot of money in the tech industry and decided to, as he said it, give back and donated money to start the Zinn Education Project. And it's a place where teachers can go get free downloadable lessons. They're all very political. They're based on Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States and other books that he's written. They have exercises for discussing current events, you know, such as the election. They have demonized President Trump and everyone who supports him. They are overtly political, overtly revolutionary, and so they are spreading the poison of Howard Zinn's history. They're doing it for free. And one of the latest things that's going on is in Mississippi, the governor has, I don't know if they've already allocated this, but he's implementing or wants to implement history education that would be truthful, that would discuss the founders and American history in the non-Marxist way, you know, and patriotically. And so one of the campaigns that the Zinn Education Project is on, and they do this every time anyone wants to reform education, is they appeal to teachers. They send out free copies of Howard Zinn's book. They have these letter-writing campaigns. And so they not only produce these classroom materials, but they produce these campaigns. And when I spoke at the White House conference, they went and attacked me. They didn't address at all what I said about Howard Zinn's book in my book. They simply called me someone who was out there attacking Howard Zinn as if, you know, I was just attacking him personally. So it's an organization that's supposed to be a nonprofit educational organization, but they are definitely political and are doing much to sell Zinn's book and to keep the ideas that Zinn promoted out there and available to teachers who are very happy to use these lessons and, you know, to get their students all agitated and riled up and ready to go out on protests. And, you know, when they're old enough, then they go out and knock down statues and burn buildings and attack police.
The evidence that you produce in your book for things like elementary school children trying Columbus for murder, just astounding. Or the fact that over 50% of millennials now say they would prefer to live in a socialist or communist country. It's absolutely astounding. And I bring this up because it shows just how significant the writing of your book is. Because if this was just your diatribe against Howard Zinn, personal animus, maybe someone would say, or envy from one scholar to another, that would be one thing. But I mean, this is about a macro issue in which you are presenting the ripened fruit of someone who has had an enormous impact on our culture.
Yeah, and I think that's why I wrote the book. I mean, there is much to dislike about Howard Zinn as a person. He was not a nice person. But, you know, there are people out there like that. But what's really the issue is how his book continues to harm this country. You know, when you've got politicians who are citing a people's history for their proposals to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day, when you've got people taking oaths of office on a copy of a people's history instead of the Bible, as a few people have done, then you're talking about much more than one person. You're talking about a cultural phenomenon, a phenomenon that has revolutionized Americans, has changed their ways of thinking. There are other leftist books and histories. A lot of them do quote Howard Zinn, but I think Howard Zinn's book is sort of the one that stands out, that's had probably the most influence for the longest period of time. I mean, William Z. Foster, who was the Communist Party chairman while Zinn was speaking at the Communist Party headquarters and teaching classes there in the 1950s, he wrote a book, Outline Political History of the Americas. That book never took off. It's got a similar take on American history, the Marxist take, you know, about Columbus and how, you know, this land was pristine and full of native peoples who got along well and lived in harmony, which is, you know, a complete lie. It's been published. It's out there. You can probably still find it in a used bookstore, even though it was published in 1951. But it had very little impact.
We'll have to stop there for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with scholar Mary Graybar. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America, by Mary Graybar. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.